they'll come get you. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
He's,
I just started it.
Oh, we have. We might as well. What, if Matthew, or was it?
Well, what he just said, I think,
Matthew 27:43.
Yeah, he doesn't use Father, but he uses God. He trusts in God, loves and deliver him now.
If you will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, I didn't read the next verse. He says, he trusted in God. Yeah, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now that, remember last week where we were talking about when the devil tempted Jesus? Mm-hmm. And he was getting him to not trust the Father. To trust the Father's protection, the provision, and his position that the Father had given him. And that's what the temptations were designed for. Now here's a man at the end of his ministry. You see Jesus being tested at the beginning of his ministry as a son. And when you see him at the end of his ministry as a faithful son, where he's still being put to the test about your Father and how he feels about you. And your position with him. And he says, listen, let him call on his Father and come and get him if he will have him. Pilate said, he says, don't you know I could crucify you? I have power to let you go or to crucify you.
No. He only has power because God gave him power.
He says, the only reason I'm here is the only reasons I'm here. There's two reasons. One of them is
my Father.
What?
My Father.
My Father. The other one is
me.
Because
he can at any time do whatever.
He said the only reason I'm here, two reasons, is my Father wants me here, and number two,
I
choose to be here.
I always do the will of my Father.
When he's we rehashing this as we in the garden, he says, if there's any way we can do it, any other way we can do it. If there's any other way we can do it, I should have left all that up there because it's related. If he said if there's any other way we can do it, if there's any other way we can do it, if I can get out of this, let me know. And he says, oh, if there's any other way, this is the ultimate suffering, right? Mm-hmm. Unto death.
Even the death
of the cross. You know, I think we were talking about this one time is Christ could have died of natural causes. He could have lived over a good old age and still displayed the image, couldn't he? He could have been like, I worship a certain Father for 80 years and I can die and everything's great.
He had that shedding of blood.
Faith of Christ.
Say it again?
The faith of Christ. He was operating in faith.
That's
the Father.
And the part of it?
Sometimes with faith, you don't understand it all, but you just believe what God said. Almost the same scenario where Christ is just believing the Father's got a plan, and I'm going to go through with it, right?
Right, and see that. What's your name again? Carl. Clay. Now, he said this. He says, even though you don't understand it, he understood it completely. That's why I asked the question.
The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Look, when he's in the middle of his ministry, he says to Peter, he says, this open display deal is over. He says, don't tell anybody who I am after this. He says, but I'm getting ready to go and I'll be crucified. Did he know what was coming up?
The Lord. Yeah. Peter did.
Okay. Did he know completely? I'm sorry, Clay. He says, Peter says, Peter's not in on it. Oh, no. No way that's going to happen to you. And he said, you know what? That's right. You're right, Peter. You're right, Peter. We don't have to do this.
He knows it was in the scriptures.
Concerning him.
Like all of those prophecies. They were there and they just didn't
see him. Yeah. See, that's good. That's good. When he says he say it again.
The veil
was
over their eyes.
Yeah. Because why? She said the veil was over their eyes. That's true. They weren't in on the council. What council?
The permanent council and foreknowledge.
The triune council. They weren't in on the council. But he let them in. When he let them in on it, they said, oh, no. 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 He said, I expect you to say that. Because you don't think like I think. That's why he said, you get behind me, Satan. Because you're not with this plan. Yet. But you will be. So here's the 12, and then two of them that says, hey, when it's all said and done,
I sit on your left.
Can we have a good positions?
Yeah, sit on your left and your right.
And he said, wait a minute.
You don't know what you're asking. You can't trade this cup.
No, that's after that. First he said this, it's not mine to give. It's not my position. It's not mine to give out. But if you want it, if you want to be great, do what?
Drink the cup.
Mm-hmm. Do what, Angie? He said, if you want to be great, Mike, he said, do what, Mike? If you want to be great, greater, greatest, then you become a servant of all. Yeah, you want to be
great in the kingdom. You're going to be lesser here.
Yeah.
Be what?
A lesser servant.
How much? supreme. Oh, I'm not doing that.
This is bad.
Yeah, because we know. See. It's not about you worship and serving. You want to be.
Worship and serve.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that was left turn. Back on track. Romans 5. Well, you know, and then we did this deviation, but I hope you see how these things are related. The theme, how it's related. When the Lord comes, He's coming to restore not only your opportunity to be the image, because it's not automatic. You get in by being saved, by being justified by faith. That's just the beginning. And when He says that, by justified by faith, that's your access back to it. Your access back to the glory of God. We talked a little bit about that last week, or a few weeks ago. That's not just you walking around glowing like an angel, but that's like you walking around ministering like an angel. Well, I say ministering. That was their whole design was to worship and minister to the Father. You did know that, right? Angels. Yeah, that's what they were for. And you have access back to that. And when he talks about we glory in tribulation, because tribulation is it. It's all good. You can always say what you wouldn't do, or what you wouldn't fall victim to, until it shows up. You say, what? You can always tell me I would never do that. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never deny you. He says, really? You will do it three times before the sun come up. See, that's a man who's he's not there yet. See, you could say it. We talked about Timothy when Paul wrote to Timothy about not quitting, about not giving up. Why would he want to do that? Doesn't he know that he's supposed to be transformed to the image of his son, Blake?
Things got hard.
Doesn't he know that he's a soldier he's supposed to endure hardness? Doesn't he know this? It's all good until it shows up, right? That's I understand I'm too far in the past, modern day. It's all good until something comes up, right, Clay?
Right.
You can teach up on Sundays until something comes up. You know, my uncle used to always say this. He said, Johnny, he said, if you stay on the bottom step,
you don't have
to
fall.
You don't have to worry about how far you fall. But when you want to be big, look at me. Look what I'm doing. That's not this. That's you. And we need less of you and more of him.
Like John said, I must decrease.
I should decrease.
I must.
I could decrease.
I must.
I might decrease. I might decrease.
Must.
If I don't decrease,
he can't increase.
The only way you'll decrease is you realize my position. You know what Paul said this. We talked about that where Paul said, I besought the Lord three times for this. To be removed. For it to be removed from me. If he removes that, guess what stops?
His grace.
His decrease.
His decrease stops. What else? The grace stops. Grace for what?
Enduring.
Tribulation stops, which works patience.
That's right. Huh? Yeah. All that stops. But what's the purpose of that? Tribulation, work, patience, experience, hope.
The trust hope. In the Lord for His sufficiency.
And also, when other people see you suffering and you're enduring through it, they're wondering how you're doing it. And it comes back to Him.
What stops? What else stops?
Focusing on yourself.
Huh? Yes, the process of transforming him into the image of his son. It's if it doesn't stop, it slows down. Because now Paul is saying, I
therefore most gladly
I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he's saying, when I'm weak, then he's strong. He's talking about trusting the process. He says, I'm trusting the process. And when he gets to Philippians, he tells you, he says, listen, I want to keep this process going. He said, I want to know him. And the fellowship, that's different from Corinthians, isn't it? Corinthians, he says, no more suffering. Philippians, he says, I want to know more. Because I know the more I learn to suffer, the more I learn, he says, that the more I learn about the power of his resurrection. Now, wait a minute. How can you learn more about the power of his resurrection? Does that mean that Paul would be like superhuman strength? Philippians.
Full image.
We need to look at it. Say it again.
Full image.
Full image. Yeah. Philippians, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see that? And he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus. You say, so what? I don't understand that. It's he's saying now that just like when Christ died, was resurrected, he says, and I think Romans 6 says this, that Christ died unto sin once, but in that he liveth. He liveth
under God.
He liveth what?
Under God.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he living unto God in his life?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time he's coming, he's coming to deal with sin as a substitute to do what?
Takes power away.
To take the power away. So when I impute me to you, what are you going to say? I can't help it. Huh? So you,
I can do all things through Christ.
He's saying, did I miss something in my transaction that you have my imputed righteousness, and then you, or I have crucified the old man, and you tell me,
I can't help it. Sounds like you're not too crucified.
That's Now, but Paul said this, that any that he might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that he might be made conformable unto his death. That doesn't mean, you know what, he doesn't want to die just like him, but he wants to die just like him.
In obedience.
In obedience. How much?
All. He counted all things but dung for the
next. When he says obedient unto death,
even the death of the cross.
All the way. And Paul says, that's what I want to do. I want to be obedient all the way to the end. Is that an image mind? Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's an image mind right there. That's what, you know what, we quote it in Philippians 4, when he gets to 4, when he's wrapping it up in 4, he said, look, I can do all things through Christ. I can. Now you saying that means nothing. You and I say that, it means nothing, Clay. I would say it means nothing. It's not like Paul said it.
In practicality.
No, because you know, I can do all things. You see, you talking about washing dishes. You thinking the little small stuff. Yeah, you're not thinking like Paul.
You're not thinking 40 stripes saved.
No. You're not. No. See, that's you know. He not talking about playing. I can play. I can do all things, Mike. He not talking about you. You know. No.
Well, we talked about 2 Timothy. He's writing to encourage Timothy, and he's sitting in a prison cell.
That's same mentality.
It's usually the verse you see under athletes on their high.
Yeah, right.
I can do all things through Christ. They're thinking about a football game or a
that's
a home run derby or something.
No, talking
about that.
No, these are all related to spiritual things. And consequently, he said this: I know how to suffer loss. I know how to abound. And I know how what? To be abased.
That's just as hard sometimes.
That's
it's
see,
more difficult to be abased.
I was going to say, if you've never been abased, mm-hmm. you know. There's a believer, a brother of mine back in Detroit, and he used to always say, you know, he sat up under the pastor for 40 years. Yeah. He said, I'm saying this because that's what he said. He said, I wouldn't sit under no Rudy Poot. For Rudy Poot, that's like a guy who inexperienced. He said, I wouldn't sit in a Rudy Poot for 5 minutes because he couldn't tell me anything. Well, he said nothing. He could tell me nothing. Well, that's from a man. That's from a man who has experienced some things, sitting under another man who had experienced more. So he can say from an image to an image, follow me. Or consider what I say. Sound familiar? He can say things like that. Where this man, he would always quote this verse. He would always say, iron sharpeneth iron. You say, well, what does that mean? Iron sharpeneth iron. And the rest of the verse says, and so does a man the countenance of his friend. You say, I still don't get it. When I'm down, if I've been down and I get up again, then I see Johnny. Johnny's down. I said, listen, I see you down, brother. I've been down before. guess what? It don't get no better. I wouldn't say that, would I? I say, guess what? If you hang in there, you can get up. You say, how do you know that? It's like, I've been down before.
Helping each other out, the believers.
That's it. My uncle used to always say, he would just say this, trust the Lord, son. Just trust the Lord. Right. That's right. Read through it. Really what he's saying, read through it, is trust the Lord. That's what he's saying. Read through it, trust the Lord. Because what that'll do, it's going to strengthen your faith. In what?
In his word. In his promises.
In him. That's what, when Paul, he can say this, that in Acts, when he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy.
Again, I said, rejoice.
With joy. He said that after this. If you go up to Jerusalem, you're going to get it. And then he turns around and says, so what? I'm going and I want to finish my course with joy. Yeah, maybe I'm not saying that right. He already knows. They told him, you're going to get it. If you go to Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost said this, you're going to get it. Not this guy. The Holy Ghost said, you're going to get it. And he says, you know what? We better turn away. We better go back. We better go back to Jerusalem. We better go back to Antioch. I ain't ready for that. I'm not ready for that, Clay. Suffering? Or ask the Holy Ghost, how bad is it going to be? Johnny? Ask him.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, right. What you saying? Like, I'm going to get beat up or what? Where are we at? Right.
You going to be a witness.
Yeah. I like that. That's right. Anyway, that's
death is going to be less suffering than his will.
Yeah, see, but what I'm saying, you know what? Those are that's from a man that's committed
to obeying.
Right. Now, back to Romans, where he says this. Where when you get justified by faith, got peace with God, now. Then, right after that, he starts talking about the tribulation. Let me tell you what the job entails. And then, when you get to verse 5, he says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Is he wants you to have complete confidence in the his love and care for you, even when it gets dark. That love of God should be shed abroad in your hearts, no matter what it looks like. When you get to, in chapter 8, he says this, that we'll be the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be conformed with the glory that should be revealed in us. And he goes through, and then at the end he says, all things work together for good to them that to them that why would he say that to believers? All things work together for good to all the believers. Why did he just say that? No, listen. Why did he just say all things work together for the believers? Why did he just say that? Why did he say this, Mike? All things work together for good to them that love God.
Not
to them who are called according to his purpose.
To them who are called according to his purpose.
You can be in Christ but not be fulfilling his purpose.
Well, just like you drew that chart at the beginning, here's salvation, here's the glorification, and the whole life can or can't happen.
Say that again. You said
to them that love God who are called according to his purpose.
You said a lot.
You can be in Christ and not be doing the will of God. They're
what?
Following his purpose.
Who is this man? I don't think he's saved. That's not right. You could be saved
and not walking according to the image, not worshiping and serving.
You could be saved and not love God. Whoa, wait, what?
This is how you define love.
See, we think this. I'm not happy to be saved. I didn't say that. The verse said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then he talks about that being predestinated to the image of his son.
To be conformed to the image of his
son. And when he gets down there, he says this. What? And he lists all these things that can happen. And he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or the love of God? What shall separate us?
Nothing.
And he lists 17 things in that passage. And he says, Paul says, I'm convinced that height nor depth nor principalities nor powers, things present, things come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? What is he really saying? When it starts to happen, Clay, you know what? There's some things, as we go along, there's some things. You know, you got two young believers back there. Two young believers. I pray they trusted Christ. They haven't begun to experience the hard times that could come. Am I right? Look, they don't have kids. They don't have a spouse yet. Haven't even hit the real world yet. As a believer, they haven't even got some extra information yet that's going to make them question what they believe. Maybe not a lot. When those things come, they won't be asking this, do I love God? They might end up asking,
Does God love me?
It a God?
Philosophy.
Right. Now, right behind all that is God right there. Right there, he's like, I'm still for you. I'm still for you. When you come back around, I'm right here. I ain't going to be slapping you in the head like, wow, why you do that? He'd be right there waiting through all your monkey shine. He'd be right back, right there waiting. And you know what he's going to say? Where we leave off at?
It's like pausing a movie.
He goes, where we leave off at?
Yep.
Pick up right there. You know, every day, this grace, every day, you know what he says? Where we leave off at? In the process. You don't ever stop the process?
Your chart.
You ever stop the process?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes. Through the week, you know, this is a daily thing. Now, it's not. You ever stop the process, Clay?
Yeah.
Next week, you know, we have some hiccups in the process. Well, you know, you can't start over, right? You know, you lost it. If you stop it too many times, you lost it. You can't go back and pick it up when you want to. That's the world that tell you that. Right. If you're really sorry, now we can start again. Aren't you glad that it's not like that? Look, if you stop the process, guess what? He says,
I'll be here when you're ready to come back.
Look, even if you don't want to put into the process, he says, I'm still going to do it. You still get a new body.
If he denies him, he'll deny us. If we believe not, yet he remaineth faithful.
He cannot
deny himself.
Don't.
The Corinthians and the Galatians epistles shows you already how far removed you can get. I mean, who could hinder you? You guys would have plucked your eyes out. They're stabbing you in the back. That's not just having a bad day. That's continuing.
That's
going after them. Yeah. You know, the guy that led them to Christ.
And you know what he was telling them? He said, you can't work for this. You can't work for this. Now, but as we going along again, and we're going to stop it. We're going to stop at verse 6 again. When you get to that verse, when Paul says, for when we are yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that due time is, that's an important dispensational term that adds extra meaning to it when you realize that you weren't even in a position to be who you are.
Yeah, I was dead. I was cut off from God.
That's right. You weren't even, when I say you, Gentiles, you weren't even in a position to get a chance at this. You were on the radar, but it was a blip in the radar.
Yeah.
Now you at the center. The focus is on you. And that's why in due time Christ died for the
ungodly.
That would be us. And we're still, guess what? The due time is still now.
Long-suffering.
That's a long time. Due time has been a long time now.
Thank
goodness. Thank goodness, right. So, like I said, we didn't get down anywhere where... It really gets better. It gets better.
It's interesting. He says in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And Paul says he was as one born out of due time. Like, you bet on this timing happening. When the death takes place at a certain time, Paul saved that he's born at a certain time.
That's right.
He's saved at a certain time. It's all clockwork. It's happening whether or not you're in or not.
It's all, you know what? This is... Those time phrases are very key. Which we just got out of. We just, like Paul said, he says, but now the righteousness of God is manifested without the law. Without the law, it's manifested. And he said this, to declare, I say.
At this time.
At what?
At this time.
His righteousness. Boom. Boom. And you're like, what? What time? The saint at this time, what Paul say, is the present time. At this present time. At this present time, where, like Clay just said in Galatians, he would say, it's the fullness of the time. And it, the fullness of the time, and he goes on to say that in due season. See, well, our problem as believers is we are late. And so are we. So we're going to stop right here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the reading and believing of it. We thank you for each member of your body represented. Strengthen us according to our needs as we go forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.